verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of God.
Good morning, and Happy New Year. You know, I think one of the best things about having a new year is the feeling that we get of having something of a fresh start. You know, the past year is behind us. We have a new 12 months stretched out before us. The calendar is wiped clean, and somehow it makes us feel that there are new possibilities, that maybe this year will be a better year. And the truth of the matter is that God wants you to have a better year. He wants you to experience change for the better, to discover and enjoy new and exciting things. He even wants to take care of things from your past years that are still dragging you down. In fact, the Apostle John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that the whole purpose for this passage read to us this morning is to produce in us change for the better. To produce in us change for the better. We read this in chapter 2, verse 1 of the first letter of John, and where John writes, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you. Why? So that you may not sin. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Now, it's important to be clear what John is getting at here. John is not saying that listening to what he has written will prevent us from sinning. John does not assume, as many of us do, that sin is something we only occasionally fall into, that we're basically good by nature and make a mistake only now and again. Quite the opposite. John is saying that not only do we sin, but we are destined to sin again and again and again with no positive change for the better. No positive moral change within you or me is possible apart from the intervention of God. There is absolutely no hope for positive moral change within you or me apart from the intervention of God. Apart from God, you and I are slaves to sin, and we have no hope for freedom. We will sin no matter how hard we try not to. This is one of the reasons we hear John say the following in chapter 1, verse 8, where he writes, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Or again in verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us." On the basis of human effort, then, we have no hope for positive moral change. You and I cannot make ourselves into better people. The only thing we can do on our own is sin. On our own, we simply miss the mark, which is what sin means. We miss the mark again and again and again. That is the background to what John is saying here. We had no hope for positive change. No hope that this year would be any better than the last until now. Now, the possibility for positive change exists. We have access to real transforming power that we did not have before. And we are told that that transforming power begins its work in us when we do the following. Transformation happens when we walk in the light. When we walk in the light, we change for the better. In fact, where we choose to walk metaphorically is the key to starting and maintaining the kind of positive change that really makes a difference. Choosing to walk in the light allows us, as John puts it, to unbelievably not sin. To do something we could have never ever done before. Now don't hear me wrong. John is not saying that walking in the light instantly makes us sinless or perfect. What he is saying is that walking in the light makes us begin to sin less and less. Listen to chapter 1, verse 7. John writes, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." What is important to know about this passage that is obscured by English is that when John is talking about being cleansed here, he's not talking about a one-time action. The Greek verb translated here as cleanses is a continuous present. In other words, it's most accurately translated as is cleansing or keeps on cleansing. The emphasis is on the continuing nature of the action, that cleansing is a process. In contrast, forgiveness and justification before God is not a process. You see, God forgives, and you and I are immediately justified. In other words, God now, after forgiving us, looks on us and treats us just as he would his own son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. So justification is not a process, but cleansing is. We do not instantly stop sinning when we are forgiven by God. But as we continue to walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will begin to sin less and less. And when God raises us on the last day, then we will be completely sinless. But that process, the journey towards that end goal, starts here now, when we start to walk in the light. So what does it mean then to walk in the light? What does walking in the light refer to? It refers to the confession of sins. Walking in the light means confessing our sins. We know this because of the parallel between verses 7 and 9 in chapter 1 of 1 John. In verse 7 of that chapter, John says, "If we walk in the light, then Jesus' blood cleanses us." In verse 9, John says again, "If we confess our sins, God cleanses us." In other words, both walking in the light and confessing our sins refer to the same conclusion, or the same thing comes out of the two things. And so we can say that the same thing is happening as a result. Walking in the light is a metaphor for the action of confessing our sins. And walking in the light requires us to keep on doing this, because this as well is a continuous action verb. It's something that keeps on going. That's what walking in the light means. God is saying, confess and you will start to sin less. Guaranteed. Confess your sins. That's what will make change for the better possible. Now you may be asking, why? And John addresses this. He says, because sin has lost its power on the basis of the blood shed by Jesus Christ and the faithfulness and justice of God. In other words, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has paid the penalty for all sin. That's what John is getting at in chapter 2, verse 2, when he says, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, since he has paid the penalty, now God would cease to be faithful and just if he did not forgive us and cleanse us of sin on account of what his son Jesus Christ has done. This is what Paul talks about elsewhere when he says that God is for us. You see, now on account of what Jesus Christ has done, God would be unjust to his only begotten son if he did not forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, God will forgive us because he is just. In fact, John started this passage by reminding us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In other words, God is perfectly good and just. God, for that reason, is itching to forgive you and to begin the process of cleansing you. But he can't begin his work if we don't walk with him in the light. If we don't confess the sins, our sins, if we say that the world is something other, or our situation in ourselves is something other than he actually sees it. You see, God doesn't want us to start the year by making resolutions to become a better person. He just wants you to confess your sins. He'll take care of the change for the better part in ways that you and I cannot imagine. Right now, for a fresh start, he's just asking us to start with confession. And so this morning we're going to read a brief confession of sins together out loud, and then have some time to make specific confession silently while the worship team plays. Dale, I'll invite you to come up now. But most likely, as he's coming up, when John asks us in this passage to confess our sins, most likely he meant us to confess them to other people. You see, every other time the word confess is used in the New Testament, it refers to something that is spoken to another person or group of people, like confessing that Jesus Christ died, or that he rose again, or that we have forgiveness of sins. Also, the fact that John asks us to confess our sins plural, not sin singular, suggests that we are to confess particular acts of wrongdoing, not just the general fact that we all sin. So, I strongly encourage you this week to go out and find a brother or sister in Christ whom you trust, and to tell them specific things you have done that you know are wrong in God's sight. This is most likely what God had in mind when he inspired John to write this text. So that's your homework for this coming week. But right now, we're going to get the assignment started by simply saying together a general prayer of confession of sin, and then to take some time quietly to confess the details to God in our hearts. So let's pray aloud together. Let's pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I invite you now to pray in your hearts to God.